Americans in California are dealing with the dangers of extreme heat and rapidly spreading wildfires. 103 degrees in downtown Los Angeles, 112 in Burbank, as climate change continues to yield record temperatures.
Get out of the road!
Relax, dude.
The bus overheated or something.
We've been out here for 4 hours. Can we just please go inside?
Shut up, dude! No. Get him in the
trash! Get him in the trash! Get him in the trash! 3, 2, 1!
Oh! Damn it! Come on! Put me in a trash can! Pick it up, dork!
What did you just say?
I said pick it up, dork!
What? Hey, are you Lil Dicky?
Yeah. Hello.
Yo, Lil Dicky, my brother thinks you suck.
Okay, your brother probably sucks. Look at how you turned out. You're a rat. Your whole household is probably completely mismanaged.
Hey, suck my butt, little dicky.
Suck your butt? How about you take that perfectly round head and suck my butt? How about that?
Oh! Oh! Hey, police!
Pick up the trash.
He's trying to eat our butt.
There's an environmental crisis right now, and you're just gonna litter on the street? Grow up.
What up, world? It's your boy, just one of the guys down here. Well, I could be more specific. I'm a human. And just wanted to, you know, for the sake of all of us earthlings out there, just wanted to say,
all right, I'm just letting this play in the back, though, because I love this. I love everything about this. Oh, I unmuted the wrong mic.
There we go.
I'm sorry.
It just keeps going.
It's phenomenal.
Yes.
It's absolutely incredible.
I've watched the video. I listened to the song at least 50 times now.
I just love how many, like, random celebrities. Like, you get Justin Bieber opening as a baboon, and then you transition it. Like, and then you got, like, Leonardo DiCaprio in it, Kevin
Which
Hart.
Which isn't in – he's not in the Spotify version. In, like, the song that's on Spotify.
Yeah, that's, like,
really I want him to re-release, like, an extended version.
They probably will. That's probably why. So, yeah, this is, like, this whole music video is incredible, too.
Yes. So, you know how it says, I'm Kanye West.
Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
Yeah, it's Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
I think that's phenomenal.
Did you hear about the reasoning why?
No.
So, he tried to get Kanye, but he just never got, like, he was so busy that he never had time to get back to him.
Yep.
But with how long animation takes, they couldn't just put another person in.
Yeah.
So he called up Kevin Hart and was like, hey, do you want to be Kanye? And he said, yeah. And that's what it is.
I love it because, like, that was definitely, like, the first call after Kanye was like, who'd be willing to do that? And they're like, Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart.
Yep, 100%. That's just, yep. I, like, saw that this was, I think you were the one that told me about this.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I was like, this is, I have to listen. I was literally back home for Easter. And we went to a Manchester Monarchs ECHL Kelly Cup playoff
game. Yeah, they're in the Yoffs.
Yeah, they got a 7-1 dub.
Oh boy,
it was great. Former Canisius goalie Charles Williams was in the net.
I don't know who that
is. He was really good at Canisius. That's the only reason I know. But on the way back, I'm like, yo, we have to listen to this song, and everyone's like, why? Like, you know how I was when you first showed me Little Dicky? I was like, this is dumb.
Yes.
And then, like, you listen to Little Dicky and you actually listen to the lyrics and it's so funny.
Yes.
Yeah. That's exactly how. So I was like, this is amazing. And I was like, they were like, why? And I was like, do you hear how many different people he got in this one song?
They show at the end of the song, they go through and say who everyone is.
That's incredible.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's at least 15 different people.
Yeah,
and apparently, he knows a few people because, like, obviously he's on Snoop Dogg's label and all that stuff. So he started like with the few people that he knew, and from there they kind of told people, and that's how everybody ended up.
And they were like,
it.
"Yo, we're so down." That's incredible. Yeah, this is, and it's a 7-minute music video.
Yes,
I found. Thank goodness that Lil Dicky released a clean censored version.
Yes, for the students, because a ton of people were like, "Hey, I want to show." Like teachers were like, "I want to play this for my students," but they're in like kindergarten.
Yep. Yeah, because like this is like a really great, because it's animated too. So.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Oh man, I'm really into this.
Yes. All right,
once the song ends in a minute too, I have Philly's questions. For
oh
you.
Boy, but we can keep talking about because this song's great.
Yeah, it really is. And like, hey man, there we go. We got DiCaprio holding the Earth.
On the Titanic, they're Titanicing on the Titanic.
Isn't that just amazing? Like they were like, and that's definitely what the whole reason DiCaprio's in there was just because of that.
Yeah,
I mean, just spectacular. But now you know what? You gotta appreciate Little Dicky because of the fact that like he like is just so out there and different. But like it's almost like brilliant in a sense because like nobody does anything else. Yeah, we got Justin Bieber, Ariana Grande, Halsey, Zach Brown.
It's gonna be too much.
Oh my gosh!
I guarantee you can't keep up.
Kevin Hart, Adam Levine, Shawn Mendes, Charlie Puth, Sia, Miley Cyrus, Lil Jon, Rita Ora, Miguel, Katy Perry, Lil Yachty, Ed Sheeran, Leonardo DiCaprio, Megan Trainor, Joel Embiid. Yeah, Joel Embiid.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
He sings "We Love You, Africa." It's great.
Good old Joel Embiid. That's amazing. 10 out of 10.
And I think they had the Backstreet Boys.
They did have the Backstreet Boys.
They I think they sang the chorus.
That would make a lot of sense, actually. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's huge fan.
Yes.
Huge fan. All right.
The fact that Zach Brown Band were the cows, I love that.
No, like I feel like they covered most genres, which is pretty spectacular.
Yeah. And so. I love that even though all of them are like very good singers in real life, they all had auto-tune.
Yeah. I know. Little Dicky's like, it's for the song. Just do it. All right. So I got to ask you this Phillies question, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because I personally loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you
Oh, the whole thing that happened?
Yeah, Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
And so I was reading today because I gave my business presentation. Disclaimer for everyone, I've been up since about 3:30 in the morning. I had to catch a plane back here. Dedicated to the listeners. That's why I came back. Wasn't my business presentation. It was this radio show. Real dedicated to the listeners.
I would have been real sad.
I got up. Part of me was like, wow, if my plane gets delayed, I won't make this final presentation for my class. That'd be really awkward.
Yeah.
So it didn't. Thank goodness.
Good.
That would have been bad. But yeah, I'm sure you saw the events of, you know, Bryce Harper getting ejected. So I'm gonna give you my kind of thoughts on that.
Okay. So I heard that the reason he was yelling was because he got called.
It was balls and strikes. Yeah. He wasn't happy about. I have to read you this because I think this is really funny. ESPN had an article that basically like breaks down the Bryce Harper ejection, which is actually just honestly pretty funny. Hold on. The expensive luxury of Bryce Harper's antics. So that's the argument. That's why Kapler and like Arrieta was upset because like it was a tight loss and they were like, look, and even Bryce Harper was like, you know, ID'd myself out there. But I just like the character of Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that is him. You know, again, he's second among active players in ejections.
Love it.
So they break it down. All right. They go, consider the mechanics of this particular ejection. Number one, the mechanic. It came four batters after he was called out on strikes in the top of the fourth. Like a carefully crafted movie script, he let the tension build until the moment called for some action, which meant that he was just sitting in the dugout waiting for a reason to run back out. And then it goes two. He let Phillies manager Gabe Kapler spring first out of the dugout, creating added tension and confusion as to what exactly was going on. Three, Harper, in his fury to charge after umpire Mark Carlson, slipped on the dugout steps. This could have been a disastrous moment for Harper and the Phillies, a freak injury if he had twisted an ankle or a knee. Four, Kapler shoved him out of the way. This is my favorite one, by the way. Kapler shoved him out of the way before Harper could get to Carlson. Again, maybe lucky break for the Phillies, given that Kapler is maybe the only manager with the appropriate upper body strength to hold off Harper, which is actually kind of accurate.
Yeah.
I like that. I like how Gabe Kapler's just like, get out of here. Like, That was amazing. And then Harper went out in a blaze of glory, continuing to yell and point towards Carlson with his magnificently coiffed hair on full display.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the five steps of the Bryce Harper ejection.
Who was that from?
This is from ESPN. It's written by David Schoenfield.
Oh, gosh.
But, you know, and I get, because, like, and, you know, as a team, like, they did the right thing in front of the media. And they were like, yes, like, Bryce Harper needs to be in there. You know, he needs to kind of, like, understand to get his temper under control. But I, you know, and I love it because, like, you want to see someone who's so fiery about that and excited. I don't know. I think stuff like that makes baseball fun. Mm-hmm. I think if you do it too much. But, you know, again, Bryce Harper's been in the MLB eighth season. This is the eighth season. He's been ejected 12 times now total. So it's not like he does this a lot.
Right.
If this was like a once a week thing where like Bryce Harper exploded.
Yeah, it's like,
you would
okay,
be like,
relax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I don't really care. I love it. I personally like to see, like, personally, I'd like to see a player that's so, like, into playing for my team
mm-hmm.
that he's going to come out there and be yelling and screaming and kicking about everything. So, yeah. So I want to get your thoughts.
I mean, I don't think I've ever seen Gabe Kapler leave the
He was fired out.
Yeah, that was the angriest I've ever seen him. I don't know what, like, I wish, you know how they have, sometimes they mic up the umps? I wish they had footage of what he was saying, because
yeah,
I would have loved to hear about it. I don't know if he was yelling about balls and strikes or what, but it was great to see that. And yeah, I mean, I feel like ESPN does a wonderful job of hyping things up to a level that is unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get it, because like that's the narrative of, like, I mean, that was the night's biggest story,
right?
So with like a long baseball season like that, you have to do things that, like, keep it exciting and keep people interested. And I mean, if I were Rob Manfred, I'd be like, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. I love this. By the way, I'm watching this whole breakdown, and it's really funny because Bryce Harper, the first time he gets a strike called on him, literally just looks at the umpire and goes, oh my god, and then gets called out on the next pitch. And while he's walking into the dugout, goes, it's high. Like, just very, apparently, you know, letting him know he's upset.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got the umpire who just looks at Bryce Harper, because Bryce Harper's been chirping him, you know, for four batters now.
Yes.
And he just goes, yeah, you're out.
Yeah.
And Gabe Kapler just, and I like this, they have the lip reading. And Gabe Kapler comes out and goes, what the F did he do? What the F did he do? And then he goes, this is effing bull. Oh. Effing bull S. I
there you
swore.
Go.
Wow. That was bad. The shove, though. What a move, because Bryce Harper comes flying. And, Bryce, I mean, just great shove. Great camera angle here. Gabe Kapler, also great manager for being like, hey. He also just looks at him and goes, get the F out of here, and shoves him away. That's amazing. I love it. But also.
Oh, I just saw your article that you read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stupid.
It was a good article by ESPN. And you know why it was a good article by ESPN? Because the only reason it was a story was because of, well, one, it's a significant thing that happened. You know, the highest paid player in baseball gets ejected for, you know, the
balls
12th time.
Strikes.
Yeah, 12th time in his career, which is the second most among active players. So a notable player gets ejected who notably gets ejected. Mm-hmm. Then you have the narrative set by the players and the coaches, which was, you know, and by Bryce Harper himself, that he needs to stay in the game. And so that's why I liked that article, was because it didn't frame it in, like, the what did Bryce Harper do? It framed it in the, this was the narrative from the players and from that game in general. And, like, it doesn't, I like, because, like, you can easily go and just make a claim. You can go and toss on the front an opinion piece that's like, Bryce Harper's out of control and he's overpaid. But, like, ESPN just goes, look, like, the Phillies understand that he's the highest paid player on the team, and so therefore shouldn't be getting ejected in the fourth inning of a 2-1 game against their division rival Mets.
Right.
And it, yeah, I mean, like, there are so many different ways it could have gone. So I'm, and you know, unfortunately, like, that's the stuff that makes the front, especially on a Monday after Easter.
Yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of the title of it, but
yes, I think
real
the title,
or not, the expensive luxury of Bryce Harper's antics.
Yes.
Shut up.
Yeah, because, like,
shut up.
First off, there's 162 games. Odds are somebody misses one anyway.
Right.
Hey, you get the rest of the night off, Bryce. Good job. I think, you know, in terms of the grand scheme of things, because, you know, you're looking at $330 million, and that's a big number, but it's over 13 years too.
Right.
You know, that's the bigger thing. first off, I mean, come on. It's the Philly fan base. You just got to know they love that.
Right.
And I do love that in there, though, they have a graphic that lists all the ejections and the umpires. Was it the one? Yeah, I love the one for fighting. That was probably my favorite Bryce Harper moment when he just, like, went at the guy.
When was that?
It was 2017. So it was 2 years ago in May. You got to look that one up. That's a really good one. That's just great. But, hey, at least that's your biggest story, because I don't know if you saw what happened with the Pirates last night with their pitcher.
I saw they were up 4-0 and they lost like 12-4.
Yeah, so they're starting pitching amazing. Bullpen, not so much. So, and the Pirates are playing really well, considering that their bullpen was actually holding strong lately. So you knew this kind of game was happening, but they had a promising young rookie, Nick Birdie, who in 2017 had Tommy John surgery, and actually ended up going down.
Last night. I saw the video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was talking to my buddy that works at AT&T Sports, and he told me that they didn't show the replays on air because it's too graphic. He's the replay operator for fun fact. Mm. But he said you could literally see the bone popping out, like of his arm. Like it didn't come out. It didn't break the skin, but you could see like.
Oh, he broke his arm?
No, they don't know what happened. But you could see something pop.
I was Spencer, my roommate, showed me, and it looked like the way he was grabbing his arm made it look like he tore his UCL.
Yeah, which wouldn't be surprising considering he already did it once.
Exactly. So, but if it was too graphic to show on TV again.
Yeah. Well, they showed it again. They just didn't show certain angles because certain angles were more graphic.
So it might be his UCL, and just because of how loose it was, then it can mess up your arm. Yeah, it controls everything.
Yeah, I mean, and the worst part is, when you have Tommy John twice, it's almost impossible to come back from it. It's been done, and there's players in the league that are playing right now. But the biggest problem is that Nick Birdie's a guy that had a 96 mile an hour fastball, and you don't get that velocity back after two Tommy Johns.
No,
so. That sucks because, you know, like, and not even from, like, the Pirates, everybody's getting hurt, but from, like, a guy who's young and, like, really tried to grind to get back, and then he ends up, you know, pretty much having his career end last night.
Right. So I was reading another story, just kind of recapping the game.
Yeah.
And it was highlighting what was said and what happened. Gabe Kapler didn't understand why he was ejected. Who was the ump?
Let me go back. It was like Mark Carlson. That was it. It was Mark Carlson.
He said that the reason Harper was ejected was that he yelled inappropriate things from the dugout.
Yes, which everyone said you could see Bryce Harper chirping. I don't know what he was saying.
Gabe Kapler, after the game, said it seemed like normal chirping that guys do all the time. That's why it made me so mad, was I didn't understand.
Yeah.
What he said that was so wrong to be considered for, like, to be ejected.
Yeah. No, I think that's the thing. It's like, unless you're tossing out, like, and you know, if you're tossing out, like, you know, slurs and other things that are very offensive, that's a bigger issue.
Right.
You know, that's not just an ejection. That's a suspension for yelling slurs. But, I mean, if that were the story, that's what we wouldn't be talking about the ejection and the ensuing antics. You would be talking about Bryce
what
Harper
he said.
Yelling slurs at a umpire.
Right, but it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
I can understand you just being mad that he's yelling at you for you being bad at your job.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I feel like you have to have legitimate reasons to do that. My favorite was Jake Arrieta. Because I feel like nobody was more excited, besides maybe Rhys Hoskins, for Bryce Harper to come to Philadelphia than Jake Arrieta.
Yeah.
And Jake Arrieta last year didn't have the best season.
No.
It wasn't terrible by any means, but it wasn't what he was in Chicago.
Mm-mm.
And, he's been a little better this year. Last night wasn't his fault. And so he always gets interviewed because he's the veteran presence. So he's not afraid to call people out.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to kind of like reprimand the team to the press.
Yeah.
And I mean, when he's done it in the past, the whole team has been like, yes, like this is what he does. Like, we're not mad at him. So every time something pops up with Jake Arrieta, I always like to see what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, he said the bigger thing he said was that the team, he didn't feel like the team was ready to play.
Yeah.
Behind him. The Bryce Harper thing, he said, we need our, you know, superstar that is a very good hitter to hit for more than half the game. And so in terms of, like, it, the way that I saw it, the headline that popped up made it seem like he said, like, he called Bryce Harper out and, like, was attacking him. But all he really said was that that he, you know, needs to play and can't get ejected for stupid things like balls and strikes.
I love this. I love that Spencer Witt, for the record.
Chest bumping the glass.
Yeah, like a seal. Fun fact, and then we'll go back to that.
All right.
There was one time that I don't think Blake Johnson knows about this, but he probably won't get this far on the podcast.
No.
So there was one time where, like, you know how they do, like, food outside Hopwood? It was like a sandwich bar. So there was, uh-huh, like, leftover cheese.
Uh-huh.
It was like, I think it was like 1 a.m. We were, mm-hmm, making that Earn the Moment video.
Mm-hmm.
Just took a piece of cheese and just stuck it to the window.
That's incredible.
And there was three guys I knew that were doing a podcast in there. And they just sat there the whole show where there was just a big slice of cheese just sitting there. at first I tried to throw it to get it stick and it wouldn't work. So then I just went, it was great.
Incredible.
But yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you know, everyone, I don't know. I also hate the term, and like, I get it because like, it's true and that's what it is. But I feel like we need like an intermediate term for slumping, you know,
because,
mm-hmm, they're like, you know, this was an important game for the slumping Phillies. And I was like, but they're 12-10. They're still tied for first in the division. You know, I hate this early when you say, like, I would say, like, and like, I don't know the word, you know, but like, I wouldn't call it slumping until it reaches, like, if you have 10 games where you're just awful, you, like, know, like, that's a solid chunk of the season.
And I don't mean to say this because you're a fan, but like the Red Sox.
Yeah,
in the beginning
that
of the
was
season,
a legitimate
was a
slump because they were, I mean, before this Rays series where they swept, what,
they're playing very poorly. Yeah. Every single game.
Yeah.
Whereas the Phillies, they have a few bad games, but then they also go out and destroy teams.
Yeah. The Red Sox were 6-13. That is not good. And that is, you know, 10% of your season there that you weren't playing well. That's, mm-hmm, a slump. That's a bad. And that's why people became legitimately concerned with the Red Sox.
Right.
Because it was a tenth of the season,
right,
that they were slumping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for me, like, let's take a look here. Like,
when
the
it's,
Phillies
they,
have
so
lost
2
in a row and they're 4-6 in their last 10.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like they're, but like they're not.
And they've also lost 4 of their last 5.
Yeah,
but that was also, I mean, you look at, they played Colorado in Colorado, which they haven't been good in Colorado for years.
Yeah,
for whatever reason. You look at, you know, Gene Segura is hurt.
And
Scott,
he's your
Canary
leader in average
got
right
hurt.
Now.
So you had your top 2
hitters,
shortstops,
yeah,
hurt on the 10-day injury list. You had Phil Gosselin. Phil Gosselin, by the way. Malvern prep grad from the area. He said when he hit a 3-run double.
Yeah.
In the game that he played in, when Kingery got hurt, and he said he used to imagine, you know, doing that for the Phils all the time. He's like, but that was in my backyard as a kid. That didn't count, and this one did.
That's
so that
not
was
fair.
That was
I wanted that
cool.
to be me, man.
Yeah. So that was fun. But, you know, he's a utility guy. He's good enough to be up in the bigs, but he won't be a starting guy.
No, he's a great, it's like Brock Holt for the Boston Red Sox. They, mm-hmm, like, he's a consistent starter because he can play in a lot of different spots. So when you, mm-hmm, need to give someone a day off,
he'll be in.
You just slap him in that position.
Right. And so you have those injuries that make it hard. You know, Kutch was hurt for 2 games because he did something to his knee. His knee swelled up and he couldn't run, which is, you know,
man,
he's the fast
about a
man.
Great get, though, is how good he's been for,
yeah,
you guys. I mean, the guys as big of an on-base machine as Harper and Hoskins are right now, mm-hmm, which is in, I mean, that's a huge, for a guy that, I mean, I personally said he was done in 2015,
mm-hmm,
and we're talking about a guy that's, what's his OBP? It's at 392 right now, which in comparison, Hoskins is 398 and Harper's 410.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And Michael Franco's still been playing well in the 8th,
yeah,
spot.
Well, and again, emphasizing on that, now that I'm looking at the stats, that Kingery loss, Kingery, mm-hmm, was batting .406
very well
with a .457 on base, which is, I mean, that's everything they dreamed Scott Kingery, mm-hmm, would be. And I know he wasn't great for you guys last year,
mm-hmm,
but he came out of the gate in 14 games and was just killer. I mean, mm-hmm, he's a .6. He has a better war than Harper. You know who's the best WAR on your team right now?
Who?
Andrew McCutchen.
Really?
0.9.
Wow.
And then Real Muto, 0.7. Mm-hmm. Kangaroo, 0.6. And that's not a hit on Harper or Hoskins either. It's just how good everybody else is.
Right. And I feel like, especially on the count of Real Muto, I feel like part of that is his defensive play.
Yes.
Because he's one of, if not the best defensive catcher in baseball.
That was and you know what? That was a low-key, really good signing because of the fact that and like, well, teams have been trading. Yeah, really good, real good trade.
Yeah.
Because, again, you know, people were trying to get Real Muto forever.
Yeah.
But it just – he's a guy that was so good on a bad team that you just kind of don't think about him.
Right. Like, they gave – I mean, Jorge Alfaro had a great year last year where they were competing for numbers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if I'm looking at Jorge Alfaro and JT Real Muto, well, I loved Jorge Alfaro when he was on the Phillies. JT Real Muto is really good.
Well, and, you know, Alfaro could get to that point, but it's going to be a little while.
Right.
And the Phillies are now in win-now mode.
Exactly.
And so they needed to change their roster.
Yes. Did you see he has the fastest – he has, like, the top three fastest pop times.
That's crazy.
I don't know if it's this year or in however long it was, but it was, like
– still impressive.
He had one that was 1.80 seconds, one that was 1.81, and one that was 1.86.
That's crazy, man.
And the league average for catchers is 2 seconds, which, like, doesn't – it's not that much difference, but it's the difference between, you know, getting 50 to 60% of guys stealing out. And I couldn't think of the word. And, you know, only getting 25 to 30% of them out.
Yeah. Now, so speaking of how good Real Muto is, again, pulling up the stats – he's one of two players on the Phillies with a positive D-WAR. And again, a lot of that's a number that you don't see get as big. He's already at 0.5. The only other player that's positive in D-WAR is actually McCutchen, which, by the way, also amazing because McCutchen was a below-average fielder in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know
what? Well, because he had to play center.
Yes.
And he doesn't have to play center here.
Well, the thing with PNC that's different,
yeah,
too,
center field's
left
weird.
Field's the hardest.
Really?
Yeah, that's why they have that. That's why they had Marte in left, was because they have that divot in left field. There's more area to cover. So that's the other thing you have to consider when you like think about this stuff. Is like actually like I read it in a book. That's the only reason I know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no. And that's why, you know, again, towards the end of Kutch's career in Pittsburgh, you saw him move to right field.
Because, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, good for. I'm happy to see Andrew McCutchen doing well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's funny because people always say, you know, is he going to come back to Pittsburgh and end his career? I don't think he will. I just think the way things went down there. And you know, he'll always love the fans of Pittsburgh, and the fans of Pittsburgh will always love him. And the fans of Pittsburgh will understand why he doesn't want to go back and work for that management.
I feel like if he does, he'll sign a one-day contract and retire.
It'll be like a ceremonial thing.
Right.
Because that was
because that's where he was, and that was where he played a majority of his time.
And that's where his prime was in Pittsburgh,
right.
You know? But honestly, it was like literally like when he was on the Yankees in the playoffs last year, I was like, the only reason I'd be happy if the Yankees won was because of McCutchen.
Right.
I think Andrew McCutchen deserves a championship ring.
Yes.
Just because he had to suffer through some really bad Pirates teams.
Yeah, I mean, the best season the best team he was on was 2013, and that was a wild card team.
Yeah. Well, the best team he was on was...
or was it the next year when they
won 98 games? And
they should have won the division, but they didn't because, who was it, the Cubs were
the
like...
Cardinals
were
wins.
Insane. Yeah.
Yeah. That sucks. That's the unfortunate thing with baseball.
Yeah.
Speaking of playoffs, not to like change gears real quick, but like, did you see that they're considering changing the NHL playoff format again?
They should.
Yeah, it's dumb. I agree. All the players agree that it should go back to the 1-8 seeding.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, like they were talking about like in the last, because it's only been 6 seasons that it's been this way.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with that is that they've had like in what, 2 of the past 4 seasons in the second round, they've had the top 2 teams in the league playing each other in the second round.
Right.
Like that shouldn't be like you want, like, because again, like in 2017, the top 2 point getters were the Penguins and the Capitals.
Mm-hmm.
You want that in the conference finals.
Right.
Like that to me is just so absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, cause again, think about it this way, you know, cause that the Columbus, Tampa Bay matchup would have happened no matter what.
Right.
But now, you know, you have them playing the Boston Bruins, who are a much better team. And so, What?
Oh,
what?
They beat the Leafs?
No. Oh, sorry. They could put the Leafs, too. I got ahead of myself.
Do they play tonight? Is that game seven?
I'm like nervous and excited because the thing with that series is that no team has won two games in a row.
What happened last night? There were two game sevens last night.
Yeah, Nashville's done, and it's Carolina and Washington in game seven.
So, wait. Nashville lost to
Dallas. Yep.
And another one was Vegas and Vegas and the
no,
Sharks.
No, that was the night before.
Last night.
No, it was two nights ago. Was the Vegas?
Who was who played last?
Carolina, Washington. It was game six.
Oh,
and Carolina won.
Okay, I saw something. I saw a tweet that I thought they were referencing games last night, but they're referencing games tonight.
Tonight is also game seven, San Jose, Vegas. I don't know.
And then it's Carolina and Washington. Yeah.
Do you know what happened in that Las Vegas San Jose game? Did you see?
It was double OT, right?
Yes, and it was incredible.
So, it was a shorthanded. It was like the first ever shorthanded double overtime playoff goal scored or something.
And the best part was that came from Thomas Hurdle, who after their game five win, personally guaranteed a game seven. And like the thing was, is I'll tell you, as great as that Tom Hurdle goal was, one, it was more of like Fleury missing it.
Yes.
But two,
I'm sorry. I'm sad for you. But it's,
I don't
I mean,
care.
That's,
I'm rooting.
That's
I'm rooting for
playoffs.
San Jose. I just can't be a Vegas fan because everyone in Pittsburgh is a
Vegas
fan.
Oh, it's so annoying.
And like, it was cool at first, but I'm really over the gimmick.
And the only reason that they are becoming, and because they played well.
Yes, and because also again, everyone still is under the belief that Fleury should have stayed, and Murray should have gone,
which
but
is a dumb,
because,
stupid.
Yeah,
belief.
let's get rid of our young, potential, promising goaltender. And keep the old aging one that has maybe a few good years left.
Like, if Murray had actually developed his glove hand and ended up being an elite goaltender, nobody would be talking about that.
But even then, you know, you still have a because, I mean, I'm not going to argue that Murray's a great goaltender because I don't believe he is.
I feel like he's very average.
But to have someone who's a solid goaltender for the next, you know, 7-8 years, because that's what you're going to get with him.
Right.
And there's going to be some big changes, and so having consistency at the goaltender position is huge in staying at least a contender,
right?
You know, being a wild card team. But what was I saying again? Oh yeah, the best part of that game was the fact that Vegas grossly outshot San Jose. At one point it was like 50-26 or something.
Wow.
Martin Jones, who a lot of people didn't think had any right to be in net in that game six game, came out and was just unbelievable. And
who's their other goaltender?
Honestly, could not tell you off the top of my head. Let's see. San Jose.
Because he's definitely their starter. He's been their starter.
Yes. No, he's been their starter. But he struggled through the first couple games because they were down 3-1. And now they've come back. Aaron Dell, I think? Hold on. We're on hockey reference.
Oh, gosh. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, right. Let's see. 2019. Yeah, Aaron Dell. He played in his total career, he's been there 3 years. He's played 74 games, and he has a 2.64 goals allowed average. So actually not bad. But Martin Jones is a 2.53 goals allowed average.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone thought he really didn't have the right to be in net.
Right.
And he came out and he balled out.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term.
I hope it's a good game. It would be terrible to have all this like build up and for it to be like a blowout.
I think it will. I don't know how this Bruins Maple Leafs game is going to be, because I don't know if you probably know the history recently between the Bruins and the Maple Leafs, right?
No.
So, I can't remember how many years ago it is now. It's probably been like 5 years now. But when the Bruins were down 3 goals in the third period and then beat the Maple Leafs in Game 7. It was the first time they'd played in a Game 7. That was incredible because I turned off the TV for that. I really thought it was over.
Oh, yeah. I remember you telling me.
And they were like, turn it back on. And then they played in Game 7 last year. Bruins killed them. It was 7-4. But the thing with that is that it was 4-3 Maple Leafs going into the third period. And they let up 4 goals in the third. So the Maple Leafs, 2 third-period collapses. And so it's like this kind of like curse. It's like, I always go to 7 against Boston and lose.
Uh-huh.
But I have this deep, dark feeling that this is going to be the year, because they have Tavares, they have Matthews, they have Mitch Marner, they have a lot of great scorers. I think this will be the year they do it. I know it's in Boston. It's going to be loud, but home ice advantage has meant nothing because, again,
no,
it's literally been like back and forth. It's been an incredible series. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But that pains me because, you know, I'm a Bruins fan and the Penguins are out, so they're really all I have left.
Well, I was rooting for the Flames, and they lost to the Avs, so.
Well, you know what? But that's why I love hockey, is because, like, and, like, granted, this is the first time ever that both top seeds have been knocked out in the first round.
Right.
But I like that. I like the fact that now it's kind of like a, well, crap.
Who is it going
to
be?
Who's our favorite?
Yeah.
Does it go back to the Washington Capitals being the favorite because they're the defending champs? But then
you
take a look.
I really like Carolina.
They're in game seven. People told me I was dumb when I said Carolina's going to beat Washington. And even if they don't, I feel like my point was proven that this Carolina team is really friggin' good. I mean, just really good.
And I look at teams like, you know, obviously talent level, and talent level is a big factor. It's arguably the biggest factor.
Yeah.
But I also feel like chemistry and having fun in a sport play a part into how well you play.
Yes.
Because if you're in a bad environment, you're not going to want to perform.
The Pittsburgh Steelers this year.
And when you're having fun and doing things that make the old hats in the media mad.
Bunch of jerks.
They played that perfectly.
Yes.
And they kept doing it. That was the best part. They didn't stop.
Yeah.
They kept doing it, and they're like, yes, we are. Like, suck it. Yeah. And then they went and played really well.
And ultimately, you know, the thing is that, like, the NHL, like, as much as you'd like to see, again, another team like the Capitals, who have a big fan base and notoriety, and guys like Ovechkin, you know, go and get another cup, it would be great for the league to see a team like Carolina go do it because they're a team that's fun and flashy.
Right.
And, I mean, Raleigh has a great fan base. I mean, people show up to those games. I think it's unbelievable, and I think it's – I mean, considering it's the first time they've been back in the playoffs in 10 years, for them to go and, you know, come back like they have been, you know, really bad because they were down 2-0. They win two straight. Now it's, you know, back and forth, and now you're sitting here. And it's to go into Washington and get that win, I would be really excited for that next series because you have the Islanders who, again, Barry Trotz coming back. An Islanders team that nobody thought was going to be any good
right
now, you know, goes and just destroy. I mean, the Penguins had no shot. They looked awful. They got outcoached, outplayed on every single facet of it to go and play a team like Carolina. And then, you know, you get to that next round and you have, you know, you either have the Bruins or the Maple Leafs, a team that's going to be good, the strongest remaining one. And then you have the Blue Jackets, who every single person in the NHL will be rooting for.
Yes.
Which is crazy to think that everyone in the NHL will be rooting for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
I love the Hurricanes and what they've done this season.
But I think it's fun.
I would love to see the Islanders play the Blue Jackets just so it's Trots versus Torts. Because it's one letter difference. They're the same thing.
Yep,
Trotz. And, like, everyone makes fun of Barry Trotz because he's, you know, Barry Trotz. He's funny. And
he's a
Torts,
guy.
Like, sucked for a long time.
Yep.
And so everyone's like, why in the world would Columbus hire him?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody still feels the same way, essentially, even though they've done this. I do kind of also want Columbus to lose, just to be like, well, what they did doesn't work, so nobody else should ever do it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So they did this whole, you know, trading. I mean, they went
They
all
got
out.
Rid of their, like, future for the next, like, 4 years.
Yeah.
To win it all this year.
Insane.
And they almost didn't make the playoffs.
Which is just, again, absolutely, absolutely wild, I think. But, you know, it's exciting, and that's the thing people don't realize is, like, they kind of sputtered down the stretch when they made all those trades. But like you said, chemistry is a big thing, and it feels like they got there and the chemistry hit. And any team that plays Columbus, like, it doesn't matter, you know, that, like, because, like, if I'm the Bruins or the Maple Leafs, I'm psyched. You don't have to go play the Lightning. My gosh, because, again, the Bruins last year, they won the first game against Tampa and then proceeded to lose the next four.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, well, that's disappointing. So. Yeah, really, really disappointing. But, you know, the point still stands is, you know, should you be excited? Or, wow, we just got a team that proved that, like, Tampa Bay has nothing. I mean, because it wasn't even like they were – besides that first game, where it seems like after the first two periods of that series, it was completely Columbus.
Right.
You know, when it was 3-0 Lightning and then Columbus scores four and everyone's like – I mean – literally, they were up 2-0, and I was like, Columbus will find a way to blow this.
Yeah.
3-0, I'm like, okay, let's see, you know.
Is this going to be the first reverse sweep ever?
Yeah. And it just, I mean, incredible. absolutely incredible.
I mean, they showed signs of it because when, like, they lost, they lost.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we saw that game. Again, we were there against the Wild when they had arguably their worst loss of the season.
Yeah.
And, like, it just seems like when they're high, they're insane and nobody can stop them. But once one thing goes wrong, it all crashes down.
Mm-hmm. Well, you want to hear something crazy? So I'm looking at my NHL bracket challenge.
Uh-huh.
And my March Madness bracket went better. Let me take you through my matchups.
Oh,
of what I've picked. Because I got one right so far.
Oh, man.
Calgary versus Colorado, picked Calgary.
RIP.
San Jose, Vegas, I picked San Jose, so we'll see what happens tonight.
Yep.
Dallas, Nashville.
Picked Nashville. Because why would you ever pick Dallas?
Yeah, right?
Especially with all, you forget all the stuff that was in, like, the news about them at the beginning of the season where, like, their owner called out, like, their top players for not being good at hockey and all that. And everyone's like, I wouldn't want to go play for Dallas right now.
And then Dallas, all these players are coming in and being like, you know, F you.
Yeah.
Winnipeg, St. Louis was the one I got right in the West. So my bracket as it stands right now, I have one right pick, and I can get no picks right in the second round because both of the teams I picked to the conference finals are already out because I picked Calgary and Nashville to go.
Nice.
In the East, I have gotten nothing right because I picked Tampa Bay and I picked
Naturally.
Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Did not go well.
I would have picked the Islanders, but I forgot to do it before.
That was a homer pick. I'm going to be just straight up honest.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I know.
You know, because you're like, oh, the Penguins will do it. They're the Penguins. And then you think about – look at it afterwards.
That's a Yinzer statement right there.
It really
is. The Penguins will do it because they're the Penguins.
Yeah, that – like, I have no other reasoning.
No valid reason for it, nothing. And ultimate confidence,
yes,
too. Like, no doubt in your mind they'll win because they are
– I picked them to go to the conference finals.
They are Pittsburgh, so they can't lose.
My conference finals pick won no games in the playoffs. I have the Bruins over Toronto, which, as much as that's a homer pick, they
could also be real. Yeah.
Yes, because they have consistently proven to be able to beat the Maple Leafs in the playoffs.
Right.
And then my final pick, which is why I'm really excited about this, I picked Carolina over Washington because I was like, there's going to be an upset.
Yeah.
Because everything was so tight.
And you picked all the wrong upsets.
Yeah,
so far.
It sucks. It's awful. It's so bad. Like,
if it ends up being Washington and the one upset you picked is the one that didn't happen.
No, the best part is depending on how tonight goes, I could have, because the only game that is played tomorrow is Washington, Carolina. Uh-huh. So if Vegas and Toronto win tonight, that means I have a chance to only get two of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 8 picks right. And then if Washington then wins, that means I got 1 of 8 right. That's awful. I don't think I've ever done so bad in anything in my entire life. So that's good.
Don't put that on your resume.
Yeah, I got hired by MLB NHL Network. They don't need to see my... what if part of like an application, they were like, we need to see your bracket picks. And I'm like, no. I mean, but like you look at all these picks besides the Pittsburgh one, which I have to admit now was pretty like full-on homer.
Yeah.
Like, they were fair picks. You know, Carolina's proving me to be right.
Right.
Boston, Toronto. Everyone knew that was going to be a tight series, 50-50. Same with San Jose, Vegas.
Right.
Nashville over Dallas seemed like, you know, again, Nashville is a team that always consistently has been making playoff runs recently.
Right.
St. Louis over Winnipeg. That was, again, another tight series, and I picked right on that one. And then, come on, Calgary was so good, and everyone was like, no way.
Like, this is going to be the year.
Colorado 1-5, you know? Like, unbelievable.
Since the Flames have lost, there's been a lot of talk to, and granted, it's Twitter talk, so who knows, to get Johnny Hockey to Philadelphia.
Ooh.
Because he's I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago, he said, you know, like, I want to play in Calgary. I love playing in Calgary. But at some point, I would like to play for the Flyers.
Yes.
And everyone was like, like, he wants to play for us.
Oh, man.
Did you hear the whole thing that happened with the statue?
No.
In Philly. So, Kate Smith.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I did hear about that.
The Flyers and the Yankees use her rendition of God Bless America for
just,
years.
Yeah.
And then it came out that she like wrote racist songs.
Yes.
And one apparently was satirical and the other was for a movie.
Yeah.
Which like sometimes you don't have as much control over what you write when it's for a movie. Like
yeah.
they can essentially they can tell you the words yeah. to put down. So it's been very back and forth between fans as to what
yes.
what it really was. But both the Flyers and the Yankees are not using her rendition.
Which I think is smart.
Anymore. Which, like, they've been using it since the 70s.
Yes.
And if there's anything that makes old Flyers fans mad, it's when things change from when they were in the 70s.
Yep.
So, and they also removed the Kate Smith statue.
I thought they just covered it, right?
They
now.
Covered it and then removed it.
Okay.
So it's completely gone.
Yeah.
Which made a lot of old people mad.
Yes.
I'll have to show you this. Oh, my flashlight is on.
Yeah, I wanted to say something, but I didn't want to embarrass
notice.
You.
I saw a tweet that the caption of a picture was, "I will never watch another Flyers game again." And every single picture is like an old man sitting in his car taking a selfie with a hat and or sunglasses on.
That's so funny. well, it's it, you know, to me, so I've paid attention to a lot of what's going on. I've seen the conversations on Twitter. I don't know if you saw a lot of people get mad at the statements that Will Cain made on First Take. He basically said that people are overreacting and that like
what to the Kate Smith stuff.
Yeah, my opinion is, and you know, you don't know the whole story of things that are going on, but
right.
ultimately, the way things will always be in history is the things that we later learn are bad, and it doesn't make Kate Smith a bad person.
No,
in my opinion.
It was
part of the times,
right? And she raised a ton of money, and you know, did all.
Yes.
Very, very good things. And we're not saying, and I don't believe either organization
is
saying
condemning her. No.
Right. It's just, okay.
You can't have.
Right. We understand, like, our fan bases and, you know, we see that what happens today to people, like, to organizations and people that defend.
Yes.
People that have done these things, which is unfortunate because, like, they have no involvement with it. They didn't tell her to write those. Like, why would? But they would be the ones that would get
well,
kind
and,
of
and
reprimanded
my,
for it.
And yeah, in my opinion, is the world will always change,
right?
And if we spend too much time worrying about, or sorry, I need to. So yeah, so the world's changing, and if we
right.
sit here and don't change because that's the way it was,
right?
And we don't, and you know what? Look, we're not condemning her as an entire
no.
person or her history, but look. Like when someone comes out and it's, you know, clearly they did things that were racist and were wrong and, you know, that we deem are very, very, very bad in today's society.
Right.
They shouldn't have statues. Like that just
right.
to me is just, and like, it's the same concept as like taking down Confederate statues.
Yeah.
And no longer waving the Confederate flag because
yes.
these are connotations. And like, you know, it doesn't change the fact that, you know, these people believed in something and, you know, but I think that, you know, again, there are things that we probably do now that in 70 years will be deemed wrong and
right.
we will be told. And I think that that's a good thing because what this shows is progress.
Right.
You know, and that's why, again, like there are certain things that like don't get recognized as much as they're an important part of history. You know, like we don't have to. Yeah, that's just my take is I have no problem with them taking down the statue, not playing the songs
right.
because it's the same concept as like the Red Sox no longer being on Yawkey Way. Because they found out that whatever the heck Mr. Yawkey had a racist past. It's the way of the world.
And there was something, and this is sort of kind of against your point, but
that's fine. That's the whole point of having.
Right. I agree with what you're saying, but this example, it kind of frustrated me.
Yeah.
So originally for this past Oscars, Kevin Hart was supposed to host.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they had a technical host this year. Or something. One of them didn't have a host.
They ended up not having a host because after Kevin Hart, they ended up not being able to find someone. And then
right.
they actually asked Kevin Hart to come back.
And he said no.
Because he was like, first off, it would have been an awful move for Kevin Hart. But
right.
yeah, back to what you're saying.
So he had a bit, I think in the 90s, in his comedy routine about gay people.
Yeah.
Which at the time, that was, I mean, it wasn't as prevalent as it is today.
Yeah.
It wasn't as kind of...
Well, gay rights weren't as big of an issue.
Right.
It wasn't something that we hadn't gotten to that point as a society.
Right. And it wasn't something that, like, you know, it wasn't a sensitive subject.
Yes. No.
So it wasn't something that you, like...
It was something you could joke about because it wasn't, yeah.
Right. Like, yeah.
It was okay at that moment in time.
Yeah, we're not going to go deeper into this because I feel like we're digging ourselves into a hole.
Yeah,
but
that's the biggest problem.
So he said these things back then.
Yes.
When it wasn't as such a big deal. And now, and that was the reason why they didn't ask him. They rescinded their offer for him to host the Oscars was because of that. Which, like, if he had said those things today, yes, that's very like, I don't know exactly what he said, but obviously it was enough for that to happen. So if he had said it today with all of what's going on in the climate that we live in and everything, yes, I can understand why they would do that. And I feel like it would have been a bigger deal. However, there's no way to plan for what's going to be offensive in the future.
But so here's my counterpoint, and then we can move on and finish up our show.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of because this is the thing, is you got to look at like the grand scheme of things. If Kevin Hart had said that today in 2019,
mm-hmm.
not only would he no longer be hosting the Oscars, nobody would listen to his comedy.
Right.
He would be publicly condemned.
I mean, people would listen to it, but those people would mostly be people against.
It would be very, very, very controversial.
Yeah, it would be controversial. His viewership and kind of fan base would shrink drastically.
Yeah. Kevin Hart is still releasing movies. Kevin Hart just released a new comedy special on Netflix.
He was featured on Lil Dicky's song.
Yeah. In the grand scheme of things, it did not affect him. But because in that moment, I mean, all that was an action to recognize that these things are wrong.
Right.
And that's why I don't have a problem with it, is because if they had gone out and been like, nobody should ever listen to Kevin Hart ever again because he made a joke against gay people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like... And Kevin Hart came out, he apologized, he did all the right things in that moment. And even Kevin Hart was like, look, I shouldn't host the Oscars. He did all of the right things. So that's the thing, is I think it's just learning as a society to recognize our mistakes and then making sure that we don't make the same mistakes again. If Kevin Hart came out and said, you know, it's not my fault, it was the 90s, like, it's different. But he was like, look, this is wrong. And that's all it is. It's just these actions that take place. Because, you know, if we don't recognize it as a society, we can never get past those things. And what we're doing is we're suggesting that it's okay. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is why they do it.
Yeah. It was frustrating. That was the whole point, was frustrating to me, just because, like, how are you supposed to know now, like, what, like, if I'm like, oh, you know, bowl cuts are stupid. And then in 50 years, like, bowl cuts are the trend, and they're like, well, you're not going to be able to do this because you said bowl cuts were stupid 50 years ago.
Yeah. No, I agree with, you know, there is certain points where you have to draw that line.
Right.
But the biggest thing that we have to, that I think is good as a society, is like, it's good that like you and me can sit here and have this conversation, because that's the problem, is if you're too worried about being offensive or offending people and saying that you support something or don't support something, I just think people need to find a way to do it without calling each other names or insulting or saying, you know, it ultimately just comes down to being good people. And the only way that we progress is to have these conversations. And again, it's good that as a society, we're starting to point out and observe that these things are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest thing I can say to anyone in the whole world, just check your Twitter, man. The people
don't,
like, I've gone through my Twitter and I've just been like, anything that like, I was like, ooh, this could be construed poorly.
Right. And I know, as you know, a middle school boy, there were definitely things that I posted on Facebook or tweeted that were not.
Yes.
That are not appropriate today. So I was like, ooh, not going to have that associate with myself. And I deleted them.
Yes. And that's the recognition of things. And if someone ever called you out on it, you would go, yes, that's wrong.
Right.
That's the important part of society. Like, nobody's going to, because again, there are always going to be people that stand on their high horse and say they've never done anything bad, they don't do this, they, you know, well, I never did that. Doesn't make you better than anybody else.
No, because there's something else that you have done that somebody else hasn't. So,
because we're all human, we make mistakes.
Right. And you're allowed to make mistakes. I feel like that's the biggest thing, where you, like, it's, life is about second chances.
Yes.
There's no way to be perfect. You can't be perfect, you know, but it's how you deal with it and how you learn from it, and that is what defines you, not the mistakes you make.
I agree. agree. Wow, we had a nice little discussion here at the end.
Wow, great, great ending for, you know.
Bryce Harper ejection, playoff format.
Great. Okay, I don't think I ever gave an actual, so that'll be my final point to wrap, bring it back to what we talked about at the beginning. Inclusion and everything. I love how Bryce Harper is.
Oh.
Because it's very similar to how I feel like a lot of fans would be if they were in his position. Where, like, you know, and he said it. He's like, for whatever reason, I'll go from calm to exploding in a second.
Yeah.
And I love that.
You know, Bryce, because he's 100%. He's honest. You get what you get.
Right. And when he's pissed, you know it. Yeah. And I love Jake Arrieta for calling him out and being like, you're better than that. You have to stop being an idiot. And he also, you know, says, hey, everybody else, you have to be ready to play a baseball game when we have a baseball game. Especially when it's against a division rival who's currently in second place,
half
game or a full game behind.
All right. So next time, we'll be getting hyped for the Avengers because we have opening night tickets.
That's true.
We'll be minus 12 hours to that at that point.
Are we doing shows through finals or just?
Yeah. Why not? Okay, as long as I don't have a final. I have two finals total, so I'll probably be available.
I have three, I think. Maybe
if not,
four.
We can just find a different time.
Yeah.
I was thinking about potentially if you're still, you know, well and with us, on Super Saturday, we can do a late night edition.
I don't know about Super Saturday. I definitely think we should during senior week, though. Ooh. And have Sam here.
We could come in like late Sunday and like recap our like day and like the events which occur.
That's true.
Since we'll be graduating and there will be no repercussions for our actions.
Yes.
And we just have
Are you talking about the Sunday after graduation or after Super Saturday?
Super Saturday.
That's true. But I still think during senior week, I think we should do Tuesday,
100%,
Thursday.
100%. Yeah. Can we bring in like special guests too?
That would be like, amazing.
Yeah, we're gonna make a Twitter just for this week.
Yes.
It's going to be amazing. I remember when we were like, we're going to make a Twitter and then never did.
Never. It's fine. That was like 2 years ago.
All right. Well, that's all we got. This is the end of the Little Dicky song that I put back, but we'll see you guys on Thursday.
Honestly, everybody, scientists are saying that we have about 12 years to turn this environmental crisis around or we're screwed. What do you say? You guys want to save the world? Of course you do. Go to the website, learn how we're going to do it.